Let's read together Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37. Now in this last portion of Luke chapter 17, the Lord answered questions concerning the coming kingdom of God. Let's begin by reading verses 20 through 25. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'See here or see there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you or in your midst." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here or look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 17 with some background notes. In verse 20, we see that once again the Lord turned his attention to the Pharisees because they asked him about the kingdom of God. Specifically, they asked him when the kingdom of God was coming to this earth. Verse 20. Now when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed." Now the Pharisees may have wrongly asked this question in a challenging way. But the question itself was not wrong for the Pharisees to ask. After all, John the Baptist and the Lord himself had announced that the kingdom was at hand. And the Pharisees certainly were aware of all the kingdom prophecies in the Old Testament. And these kingdom prophecies indicated that signs would be associated with the coming of the king. The Lord's answer first to the Pharisees, and then his further teaching to his disciples, is very important here for the interpretation of prophecy and the study of eschatology, that is, the doctrine and study of future things. When we compare the two, at first they seem to contradict each other. The Lord said to the self-righteous Pharisees that the kingdom of God was not coming with signs to be observed. And yet to the disciples, the Lord said that the kingdom of God was coming with signs. Now, how do we resolve this apparent discrepancy? The resolution is to realize that at this point in our Lord's dealings with the self-righteous Pharisees and leaders of Israel, the kingdom of God that had been announced and offered had already been refused by Israel because they had rejected the king. Look back at chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. We see in these verses that Israel had already rejected the king and the kingdom, and already the Lord was speaking about his second coming. And until that time, when the Lord will return, the kingdom of God on earth would be postponed. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for this portion of Luke chapter 17. So doctrinal point number one: at the first coming of Christ, the kingdom of God came without signs. At the first coming of Christ, the kingdom of God came without signs. Verse 20 once again. When he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed." The Pharisees expected dramatic signs to be associated with the coming of the kingdom, including freedom from the yoke and oppression of Rome. But the Lord said that the kingdom of God at this point was not coming with those kinds of signs. In fact, he said that the kingdom of God had already come and was in their midst. Not within them, because they were unbelievers, but in their midst. Now, in what way was the kingdom of God in their midst? Obviously, in the person of the king himself who was in their midst. And thus, the kingdom of God was within their reach. And certainly there was enough evidence available to prove that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Think of his birth and his miracles, for example. And anyone who received the king entered the kingdom of God. And the same is true today. But the signs from heaven and the overthrow of Rome that the Pharisees were wanting, they would not see because they rejected the king and his kingdom. At the first coming of Christ, the kingdom of God came without signs. Doctrinal point number two. At the second coming of Christ, the kingdom of God will come with signs. At the second coming of Christ, the kingdom of God will come with signs. Beginning in verse 22, the Lord explained to the disciples that the earthly kingdom of God would be postponed until his second coming. In the meantime, he would be rejected and suffer, verse 25. And they would long for his earthly presence, but he would be absent for a prolonged period of time, verses 22 and 23. The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. But then he would return. And there would be no mistaking his return because it would be as obvious as lightning flashing from one end of the sky to the other. Verse 24. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. In our Lord's Olivet Discourse, in Matthew chapter 24, after his statement about the lightning, he added these words, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, for they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 and 30. So the second coming of Christ will be associated with signs. The second coming of Christ is not the rapture of the church, but the coming of the Lord to judge the ungodly at the end of the tribulation period. And then the Lord will set up his earthly kingdom. Let's read about the judgment phase of his second coming in verses 26 through 37. Luke chapter 17, beginning now at verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? So he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles or vultures will be gathered together. The second coming of the Lord to this earth in judgment will be like the coming of the flood in the days of Noah, and like the coming of fire and brimstone on Sodom at the time of Lot. That is, it will be sudden and unexpected and catastrophic. People will be carrying on in their normal affairs of life and not heeding the preaching about the coming kingdom of God, just as they ignored the preaching of Jonah. Now comes the question as to who is taken and who is left in verses 34 through 36. Let's read those verses once again. I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. Two will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. This is not a rapture passage for the church, but the return of the Lord to this earth in judgment at the end of the tribulation period. So the ones who are taken away are taken away to judgment, just as it was at the time of the flood and at the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The ones who are left are the believers who are left to enter the kingdom of God that will be set up here on this earth. In verse 37, the disciples asked the Lord about what happens to those who are taken away. The Lord answered, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles or vultures will be gathered together." The Lord is referring here to the great number of dead unbelievers that will be the result of the return of the Lord in judgment. We read about Armageddon in Revelation chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 12 says that it will take 7 months to bury all the dead at that time in order to cleanse the land. This will all precede the full establishment of the literal kingdom of God here on this earth. At the second coming of Christ, the kingdom of God will come with signs. What about practical application from this last section of Luke chapter 17? Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. In verse 32, the Lord said, "Remember Lot's wife." Now remember, the Lord is addressing his disciples here, not the Pharisees. The point is that Lot's wife looked back and lingered because her heart was in the things of Sodom, things that would all go up in smoke. In the same way, if we set our hearts on the things of this life, as Lot's wife did, we will lose our lives as to purpose and fulfillment and reward. Verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. But we can preserve our lives as to purpose and fulfillment and reward if we separate from this ungodly world and lose our lives as far as this world under judgment is concerned, as Lot's wife was unwilling to do. Remember Lot's wife.